But when you get to know the real me, I am very frail flesh. Tomorrow I'm going to be sharing a testimony about one of those dark times in my life. As ladies, we're so emotional. We fight a lot of anxiety sometimes and depression. So tomorrow we'll talk about that. But today we're going to be going a little bit different. Yesterday we discussed our re-enlisting as a saint. Remember, Hannah was a saint. And she overcame, became more than a conqueror through her prayer life. And so we talked about that yesterday. But today I just wanted to, as we start today, tell you what a privilege it is to be here with you and get to know you. And you know we're just, no matter what part of the world we're from, God made ladies the same way with our emotions and the things and the battles that we face, and we can just apply the Word of God to that. But it's a privilege to be here with you. I want to thank all of you for all your diligent and hard work to put on this conference. What a blessing. And nobody that has ever participated in that will never know the work behind the scenes that goes on. And I want to thank Mrs. Eccles. I know her and her husband have been running themselves crazy, and some of you other pastors, wives and workers have hosted this conference before, and it is just a blessing to be able to come and be refreshed by God's word. So thank you. Thank you. We have been counting it a privilege. Well, in the beginning, I wasn't. I really didn't want to come to Australia. Not at all. I did not, because we went to the Philippines to visit our children in December and got very sick when we got home. And we said, never again. And Brother Eccles just would not quit calling. And I said, I told my husband, you know, Job's wife, I said, you're going to let him talk you into it. I just know it. I know you are. And he said, okay, you have to submit. And but I am thankful to the Lord. Finally, a few weeks before we came, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. But I was very stubborn in the beginning and did not want to come. But you have a beautiful country. We're going to see more of it next week. And you're welcoming, and just your sweet fellowship has been wonderful. So thank you. I'm learning a new vocabulary here. I want to tell you some of the words I have learned is boot. Now, in the United States, a boot is something you put on your foot, not the trunk of your car. And when I heard her say the other day, put it in the boot, you know, I'm looking around thinking, the boot. Oh, the trunk? The trunk of your car. The bonnet, then it made sense when I realized we call the hood of our car the bonnet. So the bonnet, serviette. We were in the store and she was looking at serviettes and I'm thinking, what is that? Oh, napkins, oh, okay. Creche. I had no idea what that was. They kept talking about the creche, and I thought, you don't want to act dumb, you know, so you just kind of stand back until it starts falling in place, you know. And then Sunday in church, when the brother led the songs, he says, if everybody will be upstanding, I thought, standing up. Yeah, you talk backwards, but I'm left-handed, so I think backwards, so I can fit into some of this. And upstanding in the States is somebody who's upright. You know, like that. I don't know if that's another homonym here or how it is, but upstanding. So I'm going to give you some Pennsylvania terms this morning. See if you can think what they might mean. Peeps. Some of you have been in the States. You might know what peeps are. Peeps? No? Peepees? They called them peepees. They're chicks, baby chicks. Ladies, I'm going to take you out to the country when we move to Pennsylvania, and we'll see if we can get some eggs and see the peepees. And I thought, peepees. I only used that term when I was potty training my kids, pee-pee, you know. So I thought, okay, I didn't want to appear dumb. And when she said, go out and get some eggs, I figured out this was chicks, you know, chicks. They say, ain't. We're going to the store, ain't. Do you know what that means? Aren't you? You're going to the store. Ain't is just aren't you. Very old. Use is the plural for you. Usens. Usens. We went to a restaurant after we got there, and the waitress came up and said, do you want something to drink a while? And I thought, a while? Are they going to bring it and take it away or what? That's just a phrase, just the way they... A machine is a car. That's from really long ago. They don't use that term too much anymore. And they were having a potluck. You all know what a potluck is here, that term? Okay. And you were supposed to sign up to bring things. And so I said, well, has anyone, I think they were having like pies and cold sandwiches and different stuff. I said, well, is anyone bringing the buns? All of a sudden, everybody just got totally quiet. I thought, oh boy, I really said something wrong, but I didn't know what I said wrong. They are not called buns. I don't know if you call them that here, hamburger buns, hot dog buns. They are called rolls in Pennsylvania. In Ohio, rolls were like a sweet roll, something you put in, you know, like a donut, like a roll with cinnamon in it, or a sweet roll. But not, and I thought, I didn't ask them what buns meant in Pennsylvania, because I thought they just were staring at me, you know. So that was the story of the buns. But, and we also use one other term called red up. I'm going to red up the house. Do you know what that means?
Get it ready.
Yeah, get it all ready, clean it up, get it ready for people who are coming. So those are some Pennsylvania terms. But, okay, yesterday we discussed reenlisting as a saint to keep your devotional life warm, your prayer life intense, your relationship with the Lord, stay close to the Lord. And that last sermon, these guys are getting on everything that I'm talking about. I'm thinking, oh, I hope they cut it off here somewhere, you know. But I would like to challenge you in this session to reenlist as a servant. We can be more than conquerors as a servant. As a servant. Brother Anger touched on this in his sermon when he talked about our culture and our young people today. And it's really true even with we older people. Our culture has become lax in the service area. We want to be served instead of to serve. And I find that even with myself. We travel a lot on the road. I don't like the inconveniences. I like the conveniences at home. And you don't always have those when you're on the road. And I don't like to stand in line at Walmart. You know, I want to move right through here and get this done. You know, I got a lot to do, places to go, you know. And I hate to wait. I hate to wait. But, you know, so maybe you could use that as a time to talk to the person behind you. Maybe the Lord has slowed you down for a minute there in that line. But we want immediate gratification. You know, I want to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I don't want it to be 10 cars deep. You know, I want to be up front. Like my mother keeps using this term and telling me this every time I talk to her. We are self-absorbed. Surely we're just self-absorbed in our society today. And I think she's right, and we're raising a whole generation of selfish individuals. And Brother Anger really brought that out in his sermon, Pastor Anger. I thought, oh, he is really true. And I'm glad he's a man, because he could say all that bluntly and get by with it, you know. How do we become full-service Christians in a self-service world? How do we become that? How will our children, our neighbors, or our friends know how to serve if they don't see an example of it in our lives? What does God want of us as Christian mothers, wives, ladies? Remember the bucket illustration yesterday that we talked about? Perhaps you have allowed something to leak out of your bucket in the area of Christian service. And I know I'm talking to in the States they use the term talking to the choir, the people who are already doing all this, and you're sitting here thinking, I can't believe she's talking about this. We've just worked our guts out for this conference, you know. But maybe there's someone here, maybe you haven't surrendered your talent yet to the Lord, or maybe you're not consistent in your serving. So we're going to look at some biblical examples today of service and what the Bible says about service. Ask yourself, what has God given me that I can use in the local church? Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's decorating the flowers. I am lousy at that. I'm so glad God gave me ladies that love that in our church. I love it when I see it, but you know, that's not my gift. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe you can take meals to somebody. Maybe it's childcare. You can work in the creche. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe God has given you a gift of teaching that you could help with a Sunday school class or a junior church. Are any of these gifts of serving in your bucket? And you may have more than one gift. Maybe God has given you several gifts, but maybe you've let some of them leak out of your bucket. So we're going to sing, Stand Up. I want you to wake up. We're going to sing, There is Joy in Serving Jesus. Just the chorus. Just the chorus. I think you know that. It may be in that. No, I think that other one's in there. Yeah, okay. You know it, don't you? There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I call upon thy power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Amen. Joy. God wants us to have joy in our service. Okay, you can be seated back down. You can be down sitting. I should have said upstanding, down sitting. No. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. Sometimes I use this verse when I teach a dress class because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And let's look at these two verses together. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit. So things we do, how we dress, how we act, our behavior, our service. It says our body and our spirit. It all belongs to God. Remember, we're talking about God wants all of you. Not just one little part, not just one talent. Maybe you have several talents. He wants you to dedicate all of those to him. And if you look across at verse 23, there it is again. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We're not supposed to be the servants of men. We're supposed to be the servants of God. And if you look in verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So why are we to serve? Why are we to serve? Number one, because we are saints. We're saints. We belong to the Lord. Look at Hannah yesterday. She gave all her son to the Lord to serve the Lord and reaped five more children. So think of what we're going to reap from our service. We don't serve to gain, but God blesses us for serving. Because we are saints, some people say, I don't mind serving Christ as long as it doesn't inconvenience me. Oh, I can't fit that in my schedule this week. That's going to inconvenience me, so I'm not going to, I'm not going to sign up for that one. Or I'll be a disciple as long as I don't have to sacrifice anything. Or I'm excited to serve Christ. Just don't ask me to do anything to commit. Maybe now and then I'll do something, but I'm not going to commit on an ongoing basis. Don't ask me to bring anyone. Don't ask me to drive too far and pick anyone up. Don't ask me to get involved. Does serving come naturally? We know it doesn't. If you ever have had toddlers, you know that serving does not come naturally. You're serving them all day long. And we have to teach them to serve. And Jesus says in Mark 8:34, we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. So we have to deny ourselves to serve. And that sometimes is a hard thing to do. Christ said we can't be his disciple without self-denial and sacrifice of our desires. Why do we serve then? Because we're saints. Because Jesus gave his all for us. We have to think about that. And left us the supreme example of a servant's heart. Mark 10:45a, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve. What a prime example for us. And Philippians 2:7-9, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Notice the service involved obedience. He had to obey what it was that God had asked him to do, and a very hard, horrible thing the Lord asked him to do. Why are we to serve? Because we are commanded to serve. It's a command to please the Lord. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What is required? That a man be found faithful, not slothful in business. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're supposed to serve. And we can make it miserable, or we can make it happy while we serve. We can have joy in serving, or we can just gripe and complain all along the way. And this says fervent in spirit. Yesterday, remember, we talked about fervent in prayer. Now, this is fervent in prayer, fervent in serving, enjoying our serving. So these are the three reasons to serve: because we are saints, because Jesus gave his all for us, and because we are commanded to serve and please the Lord. How are we to serve? Did you know there are ways to serve? Most of it involves our attitude, how we serve. First of all, with our whole heart. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. Our service is minimal compared to what Christ has done for us. We think about him paying the ultimate sacrifice for us. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, in Ecclesiastes 9, 10a, do it with what? All, yes. Do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. And whatsoever ye do in Colossians 3:23, do it heartily. Heartily as unto the Lord. Not unto men, but as unto the Lord. Sometimes we're just worried about what men are going to think. You know, sometimes we can get too bogged down. We can have too many things going, and we have to say, no, I can't do that. But it shouldn't be an ongoing thing. We should be happy to serve the Lord. So with our whole heart, with faithfulness and commitment. With faithfulness and commitment. Matthew 25:21, the scripture says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to stand before God someday and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But sometimes I lose some of my reward because I complain. And you know when we complain? It's like, I think my husband was talking about it, when we get physically exhausted. You know, I'm thinking, why can't somebody else do some of this? Why do I have to do all? You know, it's pity party. We get in the pity party mode. And I can tell you, we probably all have been there. And then I get ashamed of myself. You know, the Lord kind of chastens me. And I'm thinking, there, I just lost my reward because I complained. I did it of a grudging heart. But he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not just, okay, I'm going to do this week, but next week I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go soul winning this week, but the next time I'll go once a month. Or I'll go whenever I don't have something else on my schedule. No. Think, what if Christ would have said, I can't do this. It's not in my schedule. You know, I can't take this. I can't go to the cross. I can't. He willingly went. He prayed, sought God to take it from him. But then he said, not my will, but thine be done. And so our service to the Lord needs to be commitment. If we're going to do it with all your heart, all the time, consistent. Then with humility. Acts 20:19, Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, not to be seen by others. Okay, not to want the upfront position all the time. We had a young man in our church, very good-looking young man. He was going to Bible college, and he always wanted to be up front. He always wanted to do the preaching. He wasn't really ready to be up front yet. He hadn't grown in the Lord and matured in the Lord yet, but he always wanted to be up front. My husband says, well, how about you come over and clean some restrooms and do some stuff around the church? Oh, no, he did not want that. He wanted to be up front. Well, one weekend, my husband, I think, pulled his back out or something and couldn't preach. So we had this young man preach, and this young man literally was hollering at the deacons across the pulpit and accusing people of things. And it was just, he had not grown in the Lord. He was not ready. So there was not humility of mind. So we need to have humility of mind and spirit when we serve. And let the pastor will know when you're ready. God gave you a shepherd. He knows when you're ready to serve in a certain area. And what does God promotes? God sets up. God sets you up. And if you're faithful in a few things, God's going to give you many things to do. We talk about that verse. But with humility, with love, Galatians 5:13 says, but by love serve one another. By love. Look at all these attitude things that are involved here. Humility, love, faithfulness and commitment, serving behind the scenes. People don't always see that. I'm not wanting to be seen of men. And then with fear and trembling. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve with fear. We should have a fear of God that we are doing this to please the Lord and do it the best we know how. When I do something, I want the Lord to be smiling on it. And you don't want to do it slipshod. Oh, I'm going to teach a Sunday school class. I'm going to study the morning of. Oh, no, you want to put some time into it, some prayer into it, and touch the lives of these young people that God's given you to teach. And get rekindled and re-enthused for the Lord, and get your joy girded up, because these young people will see the joy of the Lord in you, and they'll think, someday I want to teach. I want to be a teacher like her. They're going to look at you, and you're going to be an example that, wow, God can use me maybe someday too. So with fear and trembling, then with a perfect heart, we already talked about with our whole heart. Now, 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, with a willing mind. Sometimes my, now notice the heart and the mind, how much they are involved in serving the whole heart. Okay. The perfect heart, heartily, the mind with humility of mind. A willing mind. You know, sometimes we could be serving on the outside, but be like this on the inside. that I'm just doing this. And this is like your children when they don't want to obey. You know, they'll, all right, you know, they'll do it, but they'll complain the whole way. And we used to sing that poochy lip disease song to them. You know, the poochy lip will get you if you don't. So we'd sing that when they'd get like that. And my daughter Marsha, she could have the lip that would come way up, poochy lip. So we'd always sing that song to her. Okay. But we had to serve with our whole heart. Turn to Exodus 35 and 36. The people were getting ready. They were bringing materials to build the tabernacle in Exodus 35 and 36. And Moses had instructed them, and they were bringing all these materials. So it's in chapters 35 and 36. If you look in 35, we find out what kind of heart these people had when they were serving. In verse 10, every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. They were wise-hearted. God gave them wisdom. Look down in verse 21. And they came, this is Exodus 35, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Have a stirred up heart. Let the Lord stir your heart up to serve. And it says, everyone whom his spirit made willing. There's your willing spirit. Got a willing mind, a willing spirit, a stirred up heart. And 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, there they go, and they brought their bracelets and their earrings and their rings and their tablets, and they offered all of their offering unto the Lord. They were serving. If you look over to 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing. Our service is a matter of our heart. And when we don't want to serve, there's something wrong here. Something wrong inside, because we're called to serve. We're saints, we're called to serve. And so this, and I love this. Look at this last verse in 36:5. I love this verse. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord. Oh, my word, they brought more than was needed. Oh, could God say that of us? Our service, you don't have to serve. You don't have to serve that much. Oh, you think God could say that of us? Bring much more. Can you bring much more than is needed to God? Of the talents that he's given you, whatever he's given you, can you bring much more than is needed? Service is linked to the mind and the heart. And then another way to serve is with thanks in his name, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do it all in his name, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you let me serve. You look at me special. You gave me this talent. You want me to serve in this area. Thank you, God. You count me worthy. Who am I to serve you like this, that you count me worthy? You allow me to serve you like this. What a blessing. What a privilege. When you get tired and weary in well-doing, what a sermon of Eliezer. His hand clave to the sword. I thought, wow, God, let my hand cleave to the sword that you've given me, the ministry you've given me, that I might just serve you with my whole heart and my whole spirit. And then the last way is with joy. Psalm 102 says what? Serve the Lord with gladness, gladness. And so, you know, I looked up that, we sang that song, and I looked up the little story about this, the man who wrote this song, and his name was Oswald Smith. There's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. And it says, in a sense, his song began as his personal testimony. He says, in this hymn, I express the joy I have experienced in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He found great joy in serving the Lord. But he said, that's a joy every servant of Christ can share. We can all experience that joy. It should be our delight to serve the King of Kings. And then he pointed out that Paul, and somebody used that verse, that Paul said he wanted to be found faithful in service and joyful to the end, till he got right up to the end. Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul desired to finish his race with joy. Let me finish with joy. And this was after the list of all the way he'd been persecuted, beaten, all these things he'd had done. He said, but God, I want to finish with joy. Let me finish with joy. Wow. And then Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He knew there was going to be great joy. He endured the cross. And so like Brother Surrett was telling us this morning, through great trial, we keep serving. We keep going on through great trial because there's joy. There's joy coming down the road, and we know that. We have heaven awaiting. And look at Jesus. He knew that he was paying the price for all of us to be saved. What great joy and what a reunion we're going to have in heaven. So we serve, then we serve with joy. Okay, when are we to serve? All the time. All the time, every day. And Titus is full of that. Titus 2:7 says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In all things. Titus 2:14 says, zealous of good works. We're supposed to go after it. We're going to be zealous of good works. Titus 3:1, to be ready to every good work. Titus is full of, it's just full of the talk about good works. And then Titus 3:8 says, be careful to maintain good works. So if you're weary this morning, I know a lot of you are weary from the time you've put into all this conference. I mean, it's the music, it's the food, it's the sessions, it's the setting up, it's the tearing down, it's the bringing stuff over and taking stuff back. You have maintained good works, and you're weary. And the Lord knows you're weary. And so we just go to him for rest, ask him to multiply our sleep, make it seem like longer than it is, and give us strength, strength every day. And then Titus 3:14 says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And I couldn't remember where this verse is, but the Lord brought this to my mind this morning, that others may see your good works and glorify God. Where is it? Yes. So they may see, so our good works are going to, others are going to see our, now we're not doing it to be seen by others, but others can't help but see it when you're doing it, okay? And they're going to glorify God. They may see our good works point others to Jesus Christ. Wow, that should even make us want more to do good works. Like a new neighbor moves in, oh, bake them a cake. Take them a plate of cookies. Put a track on it. Invite them to church. Do you go to church anywhere? Just show them a little love, okay? And you'll be amazed at how they respond. We had a neighbor lady that was a big grouch, okay? And I mean a grouch. And our kids were little, and we were at home. Well, my daughter, you know, she was all excited because we taught them about handing out tracks and doing this stuff, and she put a track in the neighbor lady's car, all that. And the neighbor lady saw her, she just put a track in her car. And the neighbor lady did not like that little kid next door getting into her car, which, I can kind of understand it. You don't know what the kid's going to be doing in your car. And then the bad thing was when we first moved to the house, our dog went over and doo-dooed on her yard. Oh, not a good thing. That was not a good thing. So my husband came in and says, look, I want you to bake this lady a cake. As you bake her a cake, we'll take her over a cake. And we did. We took over a cake. We apologized for the dog doodling on her yard and told her we'd control our dog better. and she started to soften up a little bit. Not right away, though. Not right away. And so we just kept trying to show her kindness. And pretty soon my son had a basketball hoop out over the garage, and the ball rolled over into her yard. So she didn't like the ball rolling into her yard. At least it wasn't doo-doo this time, but it was the basketball. And so I think we just built a little fence where the ball couldn't go over. We didn't fence in the whole place, but just a little fence. So we kept trying to do things to appease this lady. And before we moved from that house, from Ohio to Pennsylvania, that lady loved us. And she asked us to come over on a 4th of July and watch fireworks, are, you know, a big thing in the States on the 4th of July, of course, and asked us to come over and sit in her yard and watch fireworks. And we couldn't believe it. But this is how God, good works. Just be a servant. Be a servant. Who are we to serve? Oh, here we go. Our families, our husband, our children. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house. First of all, we always serve our families. We take care of our families and our husband and our children. Then we're to serve our friends and our neighbors, other saints, widows. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We're supposed to, hospitality is becoming a very lacking thing anymore. I mean, we out on the road, and I know pastors are very busy people. They just are busy people. We were like that too. But I wanted to have people into my home so my kids could be around these people and hear the missionary stories. My kids could get a burden for maybe a mission field, for maybe serving in the ministry. They could see, oh, mom and dad aren't the only ones who do this. There's other people who do this, and they're happy doing this. And I wanted my kids to get their hands on these missionaries. But our society today has become hospitality-less. Or inhospitable or something. It's just kind of sad. I mean, and I used to tell the young ladies in the church, hey, make popcorn. You don't have to cook a 10-course meal. If you don't feel confident in cooking, keep it something simple. Order a pizza. Or do something simple. Or just have somebody for coffee. It doesn't have to be big, but let them just come to your house and experience the joy of the Lord. Oh, my house is old and run down, and I know the first house we bought had holes in the carpet. We didn't have money to replace carpet. We just bought throw rugs and put over the carpet so we could replace it. And just be yourself. People want you to be yourself. Don't try to be someone that you're not. Be yourself. And just love. Just love the people and have them into your home. Don't be afraid to open your home. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. We're supposed to take care of the widows. The widows in our church too. Look out after them. Go visit them. Give them a phone call. So there are so many areas to serve. You know, what does it take to pick up the phone and call a widow? Not much time, 5 minutes. And they're so tickled to get a phone call. They're lonely. They need someone to just care for them and love them. That's a way to serve. So many different ways to serve. So we're supposed to serve our families, our husband, our children, our friends, our neighbors, other saints and widows, and then our local church. We're supposed to serve in our local church, teaching, nursery, music, soul winning. Don't make your pastor or pastor's wife and family do it all. Yes, God has sent them to you, but you're a team. And God, it says God brings the whole body, the body of believers together. Every member, right? Okay? We're all just edifying each other and build up in each other. It's amazing how God brings talents together. My husband is not mechanical at all. But God gave us a group of men at our church. Oh, my word, they just keep that whole facility going. And God brought those men together, and they're using their gifts for the Lord. And God brings the women together with your cooking and your teaching and your child care, and we take turns, and we use it all to the glory of God. So our local church, our whole life should point to service. It's the happy part of our lives. You know what it is? When we can't serve, and I'm going to tell you a little testimony tomorrow about where about 5 or 6 months I didn't have an outlet for serving. I didn't look at what I was doing at the time as serving like I'm used to serving. I was one most miserable person. But happiness, it's like spreading jam on a bread. You can't help but get a little bit on your finger while you're serving it to others. You know, while you're blessing others, you get spread a little bit of it on yourself. That's what God does for us. He makes us happy while we serve. Let's look at some women in the Bible who serve. Godly women who serve. Mary, the mother of Christ, she was at the first prayer meeting. If you read in Acts, she was at that first prayer meeting, Mary was. She was faithful to the Lord. Mary and Martha, well, we know that. They had hospitality. Mary and Martha, Jesus would stop by their house. He knew where the hospitality was good. Jesus, and he'd go by there and get some rest and some food and encouragement. Lydia, it says she constrained Paul to come to her house. She told Paul, come to my house and rest a while. And Paul went to her house. Priscilla and Aquila, we find them soul winning, discipleship, helping train a new convert. And someone pointed out to me a couple weeks ago, I was sharing it with Mrs. Eccles, when you read about Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible, they're always together. Think of that, Priscilla and Aquila. You don't see their names mentioned separately. They were a team. So if you're in a ministry with your husband, you're serving in the local church, be a team. You know, we can hinder our husbands a lot by our attitude. If I get a bad attitude, immediately that's contagious. It rubs off on him, and then he tries to say something back, and I try to say something. You know how that, when we first got married, I was going to have the last word. Then you learn this does not work. You know, this is not good. God is not pleased with this. But, you know, it's growing up in your marriage, too, growing up in those things. But Priscilla and Aquila, we don't want to hinder our husbands, do we? We don't want to hinder our friends. We can hinder our friends. Why are you doing all that for that church? They don't care. They don't care that you're doing that. We can hinder each other in our service for the Lord. Dorcas had a gift of sewing. Remember, she made the clothes for the children? It said she was full of good works. Full of good works. Phoebe. Phoebe is one of my favorite ones. You don't hear much about Phoebe, but she's in one of the books I wrote on the women of the Bible. They think she may have carried the gospel of Romans to deliver it to the believers. And what she had to go through, maybe the miles she had to travel to do that. A lady doing that. It says she was a saint, a servant, and a soldier, Phoebe. The Proverbs 31 lady, not just her family. No, she stretched forth her hand. She had to go out of her way, it says, to the poor people. She stretched forth to them. And then we see in 1 Corinthians 16:15, if you want to turn there with me, 1 Corinthians 16:15. Paul mentioned a lot of servants and saints sometimes in his epistle, and he named them. Paul knew the names of these people in all the churches that he visited. And here's one he mentions. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Could God say of you, they're addicted to the ministry. This is a good addiction. They're addicted to the ministry of the saints. I want him to say that about me. I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. And I want to be addicted with a good attitude to the ministry of the saints. Not just because one lady told me one time, well, your husband is a minister, so you have to do that, don't you? No, I don't want to. I want to do that because God has asked Shirley to do that. Not because I'm Mrs. Starr, but God has asked Shirley to do that. And I want to do it from my heart. I want to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And that's how it was with these people. They were addicted. What are the rewards of serving? One, it brings inner joy. It does bring inner joy. Let's look at Matthew 25:21. And this is one we talked about just a second ago. I quoted this. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Be faithful over the few things that God's given you to do. He's going to give you more to do. My kids, when they were growing up, the girls, this is hilarious, because I would always give them a list. And they'd have to check off, make bed, brush teeth, da-da-da, da-da-da. You know. And I heard the older one telling the younger one, my older one's daughter's name was Heidi, and the younger one, Marcia. And Heidi told Marcia, Marcia, don't get it done too fast. She'll just give you more to do. I thought, and they called me Hitler. Can you believe it? They called me Hitler. Because I like to get everything done, you know. Daddy, he was so good. He made it more fun. If you get this done, we'll get an ice cream cone. Now, Mom, we're just going to get it done. You know, we got company coming. Put your underwear away. Make your bed. Get this done, you know. And he would say, okay, whoever picks the most green beans in the garden today, they'd actually count the green beans. We're going to get an ice cream cone. Or we're going to do this. And he'd give them a break. You know, I wouldn't give them a break. So they have to sneak to get a break. So that's why they said, don't get it all done. She's going to give you more to do. But this says, the Lord says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. He's going to give us more to do. But we're supposed to get the few things done. And it talks about, it brings inner joy and authority. Look at that. I'm going to make you ruler. You want authority? You want to be promoted? Get the little things done. God's going to make you ruler over many things. It reaps eternal blessings. We're going to get eternal blessings from the Lord. It shows our children how to serve. If we don't serve, our children won't know how to serve. And they won't know how to serve with a happy heart if they see us grouchy all the time about it. And God multiplies it back to us over and over again. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You want honor? You want authority? Sometimes we crave that. We try to get it on our own in not a good manner. All we have to do is serve. And the greatest thing we can do is serve. It's the greatest position of all. Matthew 20:27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So the most important people are the servants. So don't look down on it as someone has to clean the toilet. Somebody has to mop the floor. Somebody has to set up the chairs. I know at Westside they're still setting up everything every week. And faithful people coming and helping with that. I know it gets weary. You get weary in well-doing. But God's going to reward that. And someday you're going to have a new building. Maybe the next time we come over. I don't know if I'll ever come over again. But unless Brother Eccles begs and begs. Well, what if we don't serve? If we don't serve, we suffer loss, and the people we would have served suffer loss. He said, oh, God, let somebody else step up to the plate and do it, but not maybe not the way he wanted you to do it. He knew you could do it. He wanted you to do it. He gave you the talent, the gift to do it. And we suffer loss. You know, people may die and go to hell because we don't use what God has given to us. We could be out soul winning, heading on a track, serving in different manners in the church, and we refuse to do it. What if we don't use the talents God has given us? In 1 Corinthians 3:15, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. We can lose our reward. I don't want to lose my reward. I want to gain my reward. And the people that win crowns in the Bible, you know, I was amazed when I heard this. There are different types of crowns. That's another whole study. But I never knew this as a kid growing up, and I grew up in church, that we were going to take those crowns and give them back to Jesus. And I thought, wow, what an even more important aspect to serve, that I've got something to give back because of what he's given me. What can I offer him? My service, my servants, but I may gain a crown here or there to give back to him, to cast it at his feet. What would happen if a soldier refused to serve his country? What if he went AWOL? We could lose our freedom. This is why our countries fight. This is why we have an army and a navy and a Marine Corps, whatever all you have over here. We have that to defend our country and defend our freedoms. And if we would become AWOL and refuse to serve, we can lose the freedoms that we even have in serving Christ. In Matthew 25:14-30, the man who hid his talent, God gave him one talent, just one. And the Bible calls him a wicked and slothful servant. He buried his talent. All the other people, the five talent, the ten, they were using their stuff. They're multiplying their talents. They're using their talents for the Lord. But this man, it said, became a wicked and slothful servant, an unprofitable servant. He lost what he could have gained. The Lord says, I'd rather you take it to the bank and gain usury on it, gain interest on it. God wants us to be wise with the talents he's given us. What talents has the Lord given you? What tools are in your bucket? Spiritual tools. Now, we talked yesterday, the tools in your bucket were Bible reading, praying, scripture memory, meditation. Well, today, your tools are your talents. What tools are in your bucket today? Have you let some of those leak out? Maybe you're tired of singing. Soul winning can be really difficult because you don't always reap right away, the sowing. But what I found out is maybe the people I visited didn't come. They promise you they'll come. My son-in-law in the Philippines says, I'm going to make up a track that says, you are a liar. Because he said, so many people promise you they're going to come and they never. Well, we know how that is. It's the same in the States. It's probably the same in Australia. They don't come. But you know what? God sends someone else. Maybe someone else brings a guest. Maybe someone comes that moved to the area that you didn't visit. Well, I don't have to be the one to have visited them. They came, and they're going to hear the gospel, and God's still rewarding my time that I spent. He's going to reward that time that you spent. Because soul winning, that can be I think that could be one of the most drudgery parts of the church, one of the hardest parts, because you don't see it right away. When you clean the church, you see it right away. Everybody sees that. They come in, they see the flowers, they see the clean toilets, they see the clean, you know, your auditorium. But your soul winning, you don't see that right away. And so we just have to keep faithful to it. Do you know how many churches in the States are getting? No soul winning. We go to these churches. We'll get there on a Saturday. Are you having soul? No, we don't do it. Not listed in their bulletin. I mean, how are you going to bring people just don't come to church anymore? They may come for Christmas or an Easter thing. Otherwise, they're not just going to come in the back door. We have to go get them. And so I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But anyway, what talents has the Lord given you? Stop bearing your talent. Get that talent out and use it. If you are saved, you will want to serve and be committed. It's a happy part of your life. Maybe you've just lost your zeal. Be a team member and serve. And I want to close with a little story. We always have to have stories, you know. This is a story that a doctor told, and he was telling about his wife and her Sunday school class. He says, one Sunday, my wife prepared a lesson on being useful. She taught the children that anyone can be useful by serving God, and that by doing that, you're worthy of honor. The kids were sitting there listening, and as the lesson ended, it was kind of quiet. And one little girl said, teacher, what can I do? I don't know how to do too many things. And not thinking of how to respond to that, the lady said, well, she looked around the room, and there was an empty vase. And she said, you know what, Sarah, little girl's name, you can bring a flower and put in that vase every week. That would be a useful thing. And Sarah said, well, that's not important. See, even a child wants to feel important. That's not important. Yes, it is. The doctor's wife said, if you are helping someone, that'll be helping the room look pretty, and that's important. So next Sunday, she brought a dandelion and placed it in the vase. And she continued to do so each week. Without reminders from the teacher or help from anyone, this little girl would bring a flower and put it in that vase every week, Sunday after Sunday. So the teacher told the pastor about this little girl's faithfulness, and he brought the vase upstairs into the auditorium where the people could see it and put it next to the pulpit, and then he preached a sermon on the honor of serving others, using the vase as an example. The congregation really got touched by that little child's service. During that next week, the doctor said he got a call from the little girl's mother, and the little girl didn't seem to have as much energy. She didn't have an appetite, and he made time in his schedule to see the little girl, the doctor. She had a bunch of tests done, and then they found out the little girl had leukemia, and it wasn't untreatable leukemia. So on the way home, he stopped to tell the parents and give them the news, and she just kept going downhill and downhill and got confined to bed. She lost her smile. She lost weight. And then it came a telephone call that she was probably getting really near the end, the little girl. So he dropped everything and ran over there. But the next Sunday, this was a Friday afternoon that the pastor went to see her. On Sunday morning, the church began, the singing, the sermon. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the sermon, the pastors couldn't believe it. In the back door, everyone turned to see what he was looking at. It was Sarah. Her parents carried her in and brought her for one last visit. She was bundled in a blanket, a little dandelion in her hand. She didn't sit in the back row. She slowly made it to the front and put her flower in the vase and a piece of paper beside it. Then she returned to her parents. At the end of the service, people gathered around and were comforting the family. And then a few days later, the little girl died. And the doctor said he wasn't expecting this, but the pastor came up to him at the funeral and opened this piece of paper that the little girl had left by the vase. And it said, "Dear God, this vase has been the biggest honor of my life." I thought, wow, can we say serving God, serving others has been the biggest honor of our life? God's placed you different places in different ministries. And we need to serve. Keep serving. Don't give up. We get weary. We all get very weary. We get grouchy. Hey, you know, that's the devil. We just have to kick him and say, no, I'm going to go on. I'm going to keep serving. And let's say that serving God has been the biggest honor of our life. Re-enlist today as a servant. Just give it all to God. Say, God, you give me the strength. I got to have the strength. I can't do it on my own. I can't do the things you've asked me to do, but you've given me the talents. Help me to use them to the best of my ability. Maybe you're not a virtuoso pianist, but use what God has given you. Play the best you know how to God. Develop it and practice it, or whatever God's given you to do. Re-enlist today and let serving God be the biggest honor of your life. Can we bow for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious time today. God, sometimes we just need like a little new shot of encouragement. Lord, just your word. Look at all the ways you told us to serve and how you'd honor us and reward us. And we can bring those rewards back to you and just love you and serve you with our whole heart, humility of mind, a perfect heart, a willing heart. God, we want serving to be the biggest honor of our life. How many of you would say, Mrs. Starr, I've become weary in well-doing? I've left off some good works. I've got talents the Lord wants to use, but I've buried them. I'm concentrated on my own personal goals. I need to be willing to re-enlist today. Are there those here today who would say, I'd like to re-enlist today, Mrs. Starr? Could I see your hand? Okay, I see those hands. You may be a new believer. Maybe you haven't even begun to serve yet. I don't know. I don't know many of you at all. But maybe you'd like to enlist today. Maybe you'd say, I really need to begin serving, to ask the Lord what he has for you to do. You may say, Mrs. Starr, I will pray, and then I'm going to approach my pastor. to see how I can best serve and use my gift in the church. Is there anyone here like that today? You said, I haven't really begun serving yet. I'd like to serve. Okay, I see that. Thank you. Or you may say, Mrs. Starr, I do not even know the Lord as my personal Savior. So the first thing I need to do is ask Him to forgive me of my sins and trust Him to take me to heaven when I die. Then I can begin to serve. Is there anyone like that here today? You say, I hear I'm coming to this conference. Maybe you're a guest of someone's, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there anyone like that here today? Could I see your hand? Anyone at all? Okay, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these honest people here today. Lord, people who are committed to serving you, I know there are many here who already serve. Oh, God, refresh them. Revitalize them. Rekindle their desire to serve. Oh, God, to say, it's been such an honor to serve, God. You've called us to serve. God, we do not take it lightly. And we thank you for that, God. Revitalize these people. Refresh them. For those newly saved, I pray you'll direct them. Show them where to best use their talents. Help these dear saints as they seek to reenlist today, God. Restore to them the joy of ministry, the joy of serving you, and the joy of sharing your love and your word with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.